Good morning. I'm Cherie Forche. I'm also from Los Angeles County Department of Public Health Organizational Development and Training. As Carolyn alluded to, I'm the manager of the leadership unit as well as other units in our office. And I'm going to be presenting to you about our new supervisor's development program. How many of you actually have a supervisor's development program? You know, what I find in most counties, what happens is you are given the job and you're thrown into it. And how many of you have that in your area? Yeah. So I figured as much. So what we decided to do is put together a comprehensive program that would look at increasing our supervisors' retention, their productivity, and also their job satisfaction. But not only the supervisors, but their staff as well. So we want to keep our staff as well. Carolyn really coordinates everything for the new supervisors development program. She does a fantastic job. We're actually in our third cohort. What I'll be presenting today is mostly about the first cohort that went through our new supervisors development program. I'll give you some background. I'll talk about the program design. I'll also talk about some of the results and some of the lessons we learned as we move through the program. So most of us believe in the county that as long as we're there, that time that we put in, we should be promoted. There shouldn't be any other resources that we look at. We shouldn't look at education. We shouldn't look at other things. I put the time in and I should be promoted. Here's a quote. If you worked in that position, you can supervise that position. Most people who work in a position, they do not necessarily have the equipped or they're not equipped with any supervisory skills in order to perform their job as a supervisor. Most people don't feel that an orientation will help them build any type of skills as far as a new supervisor is concerned. They feel like they'll sit there for some time and be bored to death, and then they won't retain any of the information or use that information that they have as a resource because they're not, they don't have the buy-in from that point. We feel that when we did the research, we found that there were, if you have ineffective supervisory skills, you have a large turnover in your department. Most people, once they have a good relationship with their supervisor, they tend to stay a little longer. They feel a little more committed if that relationship happens. Supervisor and staff relationships are important, not only as that person is their staff, but it's also important as that person moves up in the organization as well. We found, as Noelle alluded to, it's the same with supervisors. If you catch a new supervisor in the first 6 months, that supervisor can develop those skills to perform their job better as a supervisor. But not only those hard human resource skills that they need to have, but also those soft skills that a supervisor needs to have in order to have those effective relationships. Before our new supervisor development program, most of our staff had our mandatory human resource courses. We had county manuals and department manuals that were pretty much a little outdated that they would read and interpret on their own or interpret by another supervisor who may have interpreted incorrectly as well. Occasionally we would have developmental events where we would develop leadership skills, but they were a 1 day or 2 day opportunity and people weren't engaged. We also had individual leadership courses that some of our supervisors took outside of the department to help facilitate their own supervisory support. And a lot of our supervisors actually went to their managers or supervisors as resources instead of having the information come from the experts within the various departments. So this is what a frustrated new supervisor would look like. We would have communication between older supervisors. Even they would even ask some of their staff about information. We have courses that were offered in other departments within Los Angeles County, our human resources department. We would have to bring those courses in. But for the most part, a lot of our supervisors didn't know about those courses that they were there. And they would be in their positions as supervisors forever before they even would even take a course, or they would still be there and they would never know about a course. They would interpret, again, the manuals as they could, or just, there were a number of our other offices that, or disciplines that had mentoring programs that they would mentor someone through their orientation process, but we didn't have anything in place for new supervisors. So when we developed the new supervisor development program, we developed it as a 6-month comprehensive program that would they would have courses 3 to 5 times a month during any month over that 6-month period. They had to sign a written commitment. The commitment that they sign is for the participant, and there's also a written commitment between that participant supervisor and the Office of Organizational Development and Training, so that the staff member would be committed over that 6 months to take those courses. All mandatory human resources courses were taken earlier in the career. We were able to partner with our human resources department. Our department is public health department, and there are several departments under Los Angeles County. So some of the supervisory courses were offered by a department outside of public health. So we were able to partner with them to bring those courses in. And then we also had our own soft skills curriculum, which we developed in our leadership department, and we bring those as well in. And we also partner with our own Department of Public Health Human Resources to bring those courses in as well. In all of this, we have peer support because this cohort goes through this 6 months together. And that was most important because now they have an additional connection, an additional resource, an additional support person to talk to discuss problems or issues that may come up either throughout the 6 months or throughout their career as their supervisor. And we found in our first 3 cohorts that they have built great partnerships, great networks, and they're still coming back together on their own. This is a look at our comprehensive course outline. As you see here, these are the courses that are offered by human resources, both our human resources and the outside human resources. There were a couple of courses that we wanted to bring in on our own that we felt that the supervisors really didn't have exposure to some of the simple things that we think are simple, but time off, how do you do time cards, vacation planning, what the different types of items that we have within our department may have different types of requests that they need to make them. So we have an HR 101 that talks about all those HR needs. And then the HR 102 kind of carries folks through that part of how do you discipline a person and how do you make sure that it goes smoothly and that transition happens without having poor outcomes from that. And then we have risk management, which Carolyn helped develop with our risk management team. So we partnered with them to bring these courses in. We also wanted some of the public health trends, as Noelle talked about in new employee orientation. We felt the supervisors should know about those public health trends as well, where that resource is, how they can be updated, so that they can help facilitate those dialogues with their own staff and their employees. And then we also review our strategic plan. They review their performance measures for each of their offices. And then we, from our quality improvement team as well. So we bring all that information so the supervisor is well informed about the county as well. And then we talk about our soft skills over here in our leadership development. And that's 7 habits of highly effective people. How many people know about 7 habits? Stephen Covey. Emotional intelligence, which makes a great impact so that we're not reacting to things. Project management, as Carolyn spoke about. Carolyn will also be speaking about a 4-day curriculum that we have within our new employee development program, which is called Building a Positive Work Environment at 4:30 today in the same room. But this component really impacts our supervisor, and what we're finding is that they're really building positive work environments within their environments, and they're excited about doing that. And then we have our public speaking, which we'll also be presenting about on an additional day, another day, I think Wednesday. Yeah, here too at 10:30 Wednesday morning. So our process is pretty simple. There's an application process. The application is completed. This is the commitment that I spoke about earlier assigned at this point. We look at the application and review it. We look for people who supervise permanent employees within the county. With this first cohort, we particularly looked at people who were in their first year of supervision. We also look to see how many courses they've either completed already, because they could sign up for some of those courses outside of our curriculum as well. Because we were putting together this comprehensive package, we wanted to make sure they had the cohort experience, so we wanted to make sure that they stayed together along the way. After that, we orientated. Not only did we orientate the employees, which I'll talk about later on, but we also orientated their supervisors so that their supervisors could be a resource to them as they went through the process. And it didn't take that long, and they could call in to that orientation. We gave them some materials to help them along the way so they would know about the courses that their staff were taking. After that, within the actual curriculum, there's that two-day introduction that we do, which I talked about earlier, where the staff get to know each other. They get to know each other, they get to know the department, and we start to build that cohort team, that network. We also include within the system, we talk about on that first day how to find a mentor, so that they can have someone to mentor them while they're going through the process, or even after they've concluded the process, how to get a mentor. We often provide them with homework, so they're not only learning the skills in class, but they're actually practicing them. And what we find is that once they practice it, they see how they get positive results, and then they begin to use it over a period of time. They also do homework with their supervisors and with their team. And then we concluded with a graduation ceremony. Oh, I'm sorry, the executive interviews that we have, it was really important. We did some research and we found how important it was to staff and employees to have buy-in from executives. So we have our executives come in throughout the course curriculum and they present on how they became a leader and their obstacles. What are some of the, who influenced them the most? What are some great books they have? And what we find is that the participants feel that now they see that the executive has buy-in and that they care about them and they care about the department because they're there speaking with them. Some of the results from our first cohort was that they have improved leadership skills. They feel that they have positive team development. They go back and they practice within the curriculum and then they continue to do it afterwards. The work environments for some have changed. Some of them have had relationship changes within some of the staff that they were having issues with because now they know how to approach them, talk to them, dialogue with them. They have confidence. Confidence of their supervisory skills. They provide a lot of peer support with each other because of the cohort experience. And so when they come into the environment, we always tell them what happens in an SDP stays in an SDP. And so they're able to have freedom of dialogue and talk about issues that they're currently going through. And someone may be able to provide feedback or support and let them know how they may have handled a similar situation. They've improved communication with their employees and their supervisors. They're able to sit down and make appointments with their supervisors to talk about things more effectively. We've given them tools in order to prepare for those talks with both their employees and their supervisors, and they've found them very effective. One of the things that we haven't found quite yet is improvement in their job satisfaction. Pretty much we haven't been able to see that yet, but we're still working on making some adjustments. Some of the qualitative things that came back, they said that they learned new leadership skills and strategies to help and to work with their staff and their employees. They implemented those team building strategies that we developed for them in collaboration with some of our other supporters. They focused on the strengths of the individuals that they work with now and not on their weaknesses. So they looked at their staff a little differently. They networked and assisted one another outside the classroom. So what we're finding is they have done exchange, we do exchange of cards and information, and they're calling each other during and after class time to dialogue and talk about different issues that come up. But what has been really key are those executive interviews, is getting the executives to show that they truly care about those supervisors and about the department. And those executive interviews have motivated them to get excited about the curriculum and to get excited, because although every supervisor has not went through the curriculum, the supervisors have actually felt that they're going to make an impact because the executives want this impact to happen. So that has helped a lot. There's been an attitude shift. There's been an attitude shift in they feel more comfortable delegating. What we're finding is that they're starting to trust their employees a little bit more so that they can delegate some of their work and perform some of their actual supervisory duties. And we found out that it did increase at the 6-month follow-up. So we did do a post-intervention evaluation, and we did a 6-month follow-up, and we found an increase in their comfort level there. They feel more comfortable in performing corrective actions with their employees. When they sit down, they can begin to focus on their strengths and dialogue how they can correct actions that are happening. We found more of an increase with this at the post-intervention state, but we still see an increase at 6 months. One of the key things that we do is we talk about setting expectations for your staff and for your employees. So you don't just get a new employee, but you set expectations from the beginning so that the employee knows exactly what they're doing and you know what the employee is doing as well. And we found that at 6 months and at post-intervention, we had an increase as well. We often talk about having one-on-ones with the staff, with their staff, and we found that they feel that they are able to mentor their employees better because they have the one-on-ones and not just the group meetings with their staff. So we've encouraged that, they've practiced it, and now they feel that they're better mentors to their employees and their staff. Some of the lessons that we learned is that NSDP has been very effective. It's becoming a catalyst. Even when we see our NSDP participants in the hallway, we talk about in our curriculum, just say good morning to your staff. That can change the environment right away if you just say good morning. Our NSD participants, we see them, they have big smiles, good morning coming out. It's really been a great opportunity. They have additional resources for their management or for their managers. They share, we offer them to share the resources we offer them inside of NSDP with their managers. One of the things, though, that we are finding is that some of our supervisors that have been around for a while, we probably need to catch them up on some of the curriculum. So we're starting in this cohort that we currently have and future cohorts to incorporate our supervisors that have been around a little bit longer. And we have to, in the future, anticipate how we'll be received as far as the NSD program, the 6 months, the 3 to 5 days out of the office a month. So we're anticipating that now a little bit better. And then we just need to make sure we have that executive staff support, because with that executive staff support, I think that's what has made NSD very successful. And now we have our supervisor that's happy and with all the resources at their hand and and triumphant. So thank you for your time, and we'll take questions now if you have any.
Question about catch-up, because the bringing the new supervisors, that's great, but it's your existing, you're administrating, yeah. You're taking over, and you're feeling like you have a lot of people who kind of just moved up the organization and don't have supervisor skills. Do you have a toolkit that can be shared, or something that you can share with your staff?
We do have items that we can share. I did upload the curriculum there. Anything that you want, I have my card, you can email me.
I'll
make
it yours. But one other thing, I mean, one of the things that we haven't seen an increase, we have seen an increase, but we don't think it was significant yet, is their job satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly.
And part of that might be because they're still in the same old work environment. They're the agent of change. Mm-hmm. And so it'll take a while to see that job satisfaction.
That's our problem. The new people that we're bringing in, they're coming into the old paradigm,
right.
And it's a train wreck sometimes.
Right.
And if we don't do, probably simultaneously, then we're setting up the new employees for a bad, because the culture hasn't changed, because they're coming in with these new ideas and these new diamonds. So if you don't do it simultaneously, it's a train wreck.
And we do talk about that in our curriculum, is how are you the change agent, and how do you maintain a positive attitude when everything around you
is the whole day
is not changing. So we do discuss some of those things, and we talk about it monthly when they come back, when we come back into building a positive work environment. We have dynamic discussions on those topics so we can start, so that they can start being those agents of change and being strong and not lose their faith, so to speak.
But it's almost like you set them up sometime, because you're going in as this great change agent, but if you don't do something about the existing organizational structure,
right.
They're sometimes just treading water.
Right, exactly. And so and one of the other things too is we're hoping that because we do engage with supervisors as well, mm-hmm. that there is some type of dialogue between that person who's the participant and the supervisor, so that as they're making the change, the supervisor can see it and support it, and that it's that it's not such a negative environment if the supervisor's also supporting the change. But it's going to be a challenge. We're a huge organization, so we're turning into elephants. But we are seeing it turn, which is kind of exciting. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you guys are seeing it turn. We actually both work in Louisiana, and so are running into these issues together. Trying to stave off the train wreck. But my first question was about resources. If you guys had gotten additional funding sources, either from your agency or outside grants, because you mentioned two things. One, they use independent consultants, which costs money. And then also that you use an audience response system, which I think is fantastic, and very interactive, and using those adult learning techniques. But how did you fund some of those things that are more innovative in your program?
Our director wrote the
all of our staff are going to have to step up into leadership development So we have gotten a lot of emergency preparedness dollars to develop our leaders. Cherie's item, Carolyn's item are fully funded through emergency preparedness dollars. And then we also have gotten some grant funding from our local union because they want to see it happen too. Most of our supervisors are union represented and they supervise staff that are union employees. So that's been another source of funding.
That's excellent to know that you were able to fund it with the emergency response dollars.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right.
I just had a question. I think it was actually on your program that you said 71% of the participants. I guess my question is, which of these programs are all of them mandatory, or are only some of them mandatory for them to go through? Because they sound like excellent programs that, I mean, I hate to say it, mandatory is such a strong word, but for some of them, it'd be really, I mean, project management is essential in a step up to supervisor, and even in orientation. I mean, I would think especially new orientation would be mandatory, are they?
Yeah, new supervisor development program isn't officially mandatory, but we have a really high support of the organization, so folks are coming. Our part of our problem with making NSCP mandatory is we really don't know what our baseline is. We don't know who the new supervisors are, so we can't centrally mandate and say you have to come. Does that make sense? Our infrastructure doesn't necessarily track that. There are a lot of people on items that aren't official supervisor items, so HR can't tell us who people are that are new supervisors. So it's really depending on the division directors.
So they actually nominate people to go?
They apply. There's an extensive application process that they have to complete, fill out. Their supervisor and their manager has to approve it. It's kind of a commitment signature too because of the extensive time.
Can they do it themselves then, or is it just management that has to recommend them?
No, we send out the announcements to all employees. So an employee themselves can say, I want to go to this, and then it goes up, or a manager can say, I want you to go to this. So it can happen for both ends. We learned early on, we can't depend on the trickle down, right? So there's a lot of lies, so we got to go from both ends. So everything we do is both ends. New employee orientation, we do have the advantage of HR knows exactly who they are. They schedule them. Part of our higher, our no-show rate there was there were some breaks in the system early on where they weren't scheduling them right away, but that's improved significantly. I'm trying to think of who is next. We've got
I just want to make a comment. I think it's really great. I work for the New York City Department of Health, which is a very big organization. And within HR or organizational development, there are no nursing people. So I commend you for that. And I think that you bring a different flavor to organizing it and producing what you've done. And I'd like to take that to New York, actually. So we have some big programs like School Health, which has about 1,000 nurses. So we have our own separate piece, but it doesn't connect to all the other pieces. And I think I want to make sure that the staff development director.
Well, the other thing that you mentioned that's unique for us is we don't report to HR. And we're actually the only department in LA County that has an organizational development unit that doesn't report within the HR structure. So we did report to the Quality Improvement Division, who's also our medical director. So there is definitely, there is a different perspective.
Definitely. You mentioned earlier customer service piece, the plus level, I think you called it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it relates back to what you were talking about. You bring in the new people, you motivate them, they're excited, they want to bring in, but then there's the other stuff that's still there that can bring them down, they get stuck in the same. We're kind of in that predicament. But where did you bring in your customer service piece from? Because I've never...
Well, what we did with customer service was actually, this was a department-wide mandate about 3 years ago. Every employee had to go through the training. And no matter what level they were at, they actually went through it with their unit. So they were in the same class with their supervisors, their managers, their directors. So this is really just kind of an onboarding of new employees, making sure they know the customer service expectations that everybody has. So there was across the board kind of training on customer
Where
service.
Where did the contact come from? Was that from a consultant?
We developed it internally. We did have a consultant for that several years ago through some quality improvement. The county has grant dollars for any quality improvement initiative. So we got grant money through the county for that. I saw a few other things.
For your supervisor training, was that specific to a certain level of supervisory role, management director? Did that include anyone that had any supervisory role, program directors, or anyone else?
Yeah, for us, the only requirement we had is that they were a first-time supervisor. So we really didn't say, you know, we would cut it off anywhere. So we have some chiefs from environmental health all the way down to clerk who supervises individuals who are full-time employees. It's our first level. We plan to move up different levels. So this is every supervisor. And then our next level will be those who are basically managers, and then we'll move to the executive staff. And we've actually started incorporating some curriculums with those different levels as well.
Any other questions? You said you are going to be developing something for the existing, that's going to be your next cohort that you're going to work on.
For the managers.
There will be a manager cohort.
The executives probably won't be a cohort, right. But there will be, there's a couple of books we'll give them and some kind of learning opportunities. But there's so far to be, it's like one or two new executives a year. So.
Well, not just your executives, just supervisors that may have been there for a while. You're going to be developing.
Already incorporated.
They're already incorporated.
Yeah, they've been already incorporated. We have a cohort 3 going on right now. They're graduating in December, and we have new and existing supervisors in that.
But we can't, it's resource extensive. We can't do more than one cohort at a time, and each cohort takes 6 months. So it's 2 cohorts a year, 60 participants max. We have over 500 managers. So it's going to take several years to catch up. It's not going to happen.
Well, one of the good things is that some of the other courses, some of those soft skill courses that we have, they can also take those outside of NSDP. Mm-hmm. So some of the supervisors have already started to give us that component part of the curriculum.
Those soft skill courses that they can take outside of your program, are those offered through your office?
Yeah.
The one good thing about these soft skill courses, like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Emotional Intelligence and Public Speaking 1 and 2, they're also open to all staff in the departments as well. So we're providing that professional development for all staff, not just our supervisors and managers, but all public health staff in our department.
And that's the ones you listed earlier, the emotional intelligence, mm-hmm.
Yes, soft skills.
Yes.
The only one that's not offered outside of our new supervisor development is the building a positive work environment.
And our
project management.
And our crucial and confrontations.
Which we're obviously listed. Yeah, not listed for that cohort.
Any other questions?
Thank you to all of us.